Scripture, the Old Testament, is Isaiah 40, 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. Our valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become the level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, New Testament, Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And two, I am with you always, to the close of the age. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If you see something, say something. That's a phrase I heard very frequently after the attacks of 9/11 and the Boston Marathon bombing. It is a call to arms for people to be alert of their surroundings and report to authorities anything they find suspicious. Now here we are in the historic Thincastle Presbyterian Church, and it's hardly a target of terrorists, but you're all wondering, what the heck is this guy talking about? Well, as a Christian, there are many things I fall short of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Perhaps the most disappointing is my failure to spread the word of God to others. In other words, I have seen something, the mercy of the glory of our Lord, but failed to say something to more people. We'd surely benefit from the relationship with Jesus Christ. Evangelism is something we're all capable of, but hesitate to do. I'd like to do better at this. Let me share this with you. I dreamt I had a conversation with a man. This man was young, but wise beyond his years. He had insights that were vivid and enlightening to me about topics I had been ignorant of or even uninformed. The creation of man, as told by Moses, has puzzled me. Since human-like beings have been on earth for much longer than the timeline given in the book of Genesis, he explained to me the recorded version of creation was not the same as the actual creation. Moses provided us with an understandable documentation that was vital for God's plan to establish a settlement for the Hebrews, sometimes called the chosen ones. I suspected this person was closer to God than anyone I'd ever met. I asked him what God expected of the Hebrews. He told me God made a covenant with them, and the people were unable or unwilling to abide by the covenant. I asked him what the consequences were for their disobedience. God had a new plan, which was foretold by Isaiah about 700 years before Christ. He told me a Messiah, a Savior, from the stump of Jesse, the Son of God, was born to a virgin. His name is Jesus. He would preach a message of love, forgiveness, and salvation. He gathered disciples, taught them of God's love for his people, performed miracles, and surprisingly said, we should not just forgive our enemies, but love them and pray for them. The man told me Jesus attracted large crowds, which concerned the chief priests and the Sanhedrin. They plotted to have him arrested. He would go before the governor, Pontius Pilate, who had been brutalized and executed by crucifixion. Jesus would rise from the dead and appear before the disciples, encouraging them to continue preaching to all people. Our conversation then turned to the aftermath. The Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples at Pentecost, empowering them to speak in all languages. This will ultimately bring Jesus' message of God's omnipotence and love to all people on earth. He informed me that as a Christian, I was expected to tell others about everything he spoke. I replied that I've taught Sunday school, but as a retired public school teacher, I was forbidden to discuss the gospel with my students. He reminded me there were other opportunities when I could have spoken the word. And I agreed with him and asked how I could remember the facts to be accurate in my testimony to others. He told me there was a book that is not just the biggest selling book of all time, but the biggest seller every year, the Holy Bible. It even outsold Harry Potter. He gave me reference footnotes of every topic we covered. I promised to put it in our discussion in my column in the Fincastle United Methodist Church newsletter. This is an opportunity for me to see something and say something. The newsletter is not published until July, so this is a spoiler alert. Amazingly, I received an email asking me if I would fill in for Dr. Dickerson. How could I say no? I'd like to tell you more about the value of seeing something in Jesus and saying something to others. Other than my wife, my best friend is Dean. His mother died of a brain hemorrhage when we were in fifth grade. His dad remarried to a woman with four rambunctious kids, making the home a chaotic eight is enough. Dean frequently sought refuge with my family of five children, making us eight. He became like a brother to me. On one cold December day, we were Christmas shopping. We would have to walk across the Western Gateway Bridge that spans from Scotia to Schenectady, about a mile walk to get to the shops. We started talking about a church and Sunday school, which I did. And we talked about believing God. And I told Dean what little I knew and said I believed in God and Jesus. He seemed unfazed and wondered why I believed in such an incredible story. My rationale was, if you believe in God and act accordingly, you have eternal life. If you don't believe in God, eternal life is off the table. Now, at the age of 13, I had no idea a 17th century French mathematician had offered the same argument, famously known as Pascal's wager. Doug's wager actually worked on Dean. I saw something, the value of Christianity for Dean, and I said something. Now, Dean is the smartest person I've ever met. He's a talented musician and went to college on an ROTC scholarship. When he got into military intelligence, I was investigated because of our friendship. Dean was deployed to several places, retiring as a major. We call each other on our birthdays. Dean called twice from Kinshasa, once from Bosnia, and on my 50th, he called me from Saddam Hussein's palace. He would say he was an attaché. I would tell Dean I believed he was a spy. He couldn't tell me what he was working on. I would call him James Bond. When Dean retired and became a consultant, he changed his email address to include 007. The best part of Dean's story is he saw something, Doug's wager, and said something. He's been an active Christian wherever he has been, frequently using music to engage others. He's written Christian music. There is no doubt Dean has reached dozens of people in several countries with the gospel. He visited me several times while I was in the hospital, always with his guitar. We both look back on that cold December day as a life-changing moment. Regarding my hospitalization, in February of 2019, I had a heart transplant at Duke University Hospital. What was supposed to be a four-week stay became an 11-month ordeal. Among the things that got me through it was the best advocate in the world, my wife, Gail. I'm pretty sure Duke will remember me, but trust me, they'll never forget Gail. The support for me from family, friends, our church family, and the community was critical. The visits, phone calls, cards, well wishes, and prayers were instrumental in my miracle. We take the cards to the critical care room walls until the walls were completely covered, and had many cards left over. This resulted in Duke banning anyone else from doing this again. My apologies to those who end up in those rooms. My point is, many of you saw something, my hospitalization, and said something, whether it be best wishes, prayers, or kind thoughts. I'm 100% sure that intercessional prayer works. Studies have shown the power of prayer is undeniable. My medical miracle is a proof of this. I was told in October 2019 that I would never be off a ventilator. I would never leave a nursing home, and I would need dialysis for the rest of my life. Obviously, those first two have been conquered. And this Monday, my nephrologist told me to discontinue dialysis and take follow-up blood tests to ensure I can stay off. Thank you so much for seeing something and saying something. It would be nice if we could all emulate Jesus Christ, looking back at the original reason for say something, see something and say something. How many of us are capable of loving and praying for the 20 Saudis who perpetrated 9/11 and the Sardia brothers who bombed spectators at the Boston Marathon? I'm not sure I'm there yet. How about if we start by loving and praying for people in the other political party? Being a Christian is a challenge. But maybe we could try to be like John the Baptist. As was foretold in Isaiah 40, we can be a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We might be incapable of Christ-like behavior, but we can alert others of what Jesus can mean to them. A few years ago, Gail and I went to Mount Airy, North Carolina, while the city was hosting tourists for the Mayberry Days. There were true street-corner evangelists yelling the gospel at the top of their lungs. They worked like a wrestling tag team, switching every 45 minutes. They seemed to be modern-day John the Baptist. I don't have any way of knowing how much impact their ministry had on the crowd, but I remember it vividly to this day. I'm not suggesting any of you stand in front of the courthouse shouting words of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. However, at some time in the future, you will be aware of a person in need or ill or grieving. You can respond in many ways. Don't be reluctant to channel your relationship to God when giving comfort. Offer to pray for them or pray with them. Pay them a visit. Send them a card. Make a phone call. Follow up later to see how they are doing. In short, if you see something, say something.